Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Oh no, oh no. Are you really excited that the Lord just gave us another opportunity to gather together to worship His name in spirit and in truth? Amen. So listen, this morning we're going to sing a song that we sang last week. The song is Firm Foundation, and in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 25 to 27, Jesus is speaking, right? And he's teaching about how when a house isn't built on a foundation that can handle it, when rain comes and when wind blows, the house will be destroyed. When we don't listen to the word of God, when we don't heed to the word of God, it's like we're building a house on sand. It's like we're building our lives on sand. And so when rain comes and when wind blows, our house, our homes are easily destroyed. But if we build it on the bedrock or the foundation that is Jesus Christ, rain can come, wind can blow, but nothing will shake us. And so I don't know what you may have come in this morning carrying. I don't know what it is that you may have on your heart, but I encourage you to make your foundation, make your anchor Jesus Christ this morning. Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me shaking,
yes, Lord,
I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause He never let me down. Faithful through generations, and so why would He fail now? He won't. No, you won't fail, God. Christ is my the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He never let me down. He's faithful through generations.
So church, no matter what it is, no matter what life tries to throw at you, no matter what adversary tries to throw at you, the foundation of Jesus is consistent. The foundation of Jesus will sustain you. The foundation of Jesus will keep you. Even when rain comes, even when wind blows, even when confusion happens, even when unexpected life events happens, when death comes, when sickness comes, the foundation of Jesus is sacred. The foundation of Jesus is safe. The foundation of Jesus will keep your mind. The foundation of Jesus will restore your heart. The foundation of Jesus can heal. The foundation of Jesus still delivers. The foundation of Jesus still sets free. So this morning, all over this room, can we lift our hands? And can we worship a God who gives us a firm foundation? Can we worship a Jesus that gives us a firm foundation? A God who still keeps us. A God who still sustains us. A God who keeps your mind. A God who restores hearts. A God who heals relationships. A God who restores families. A God who breaks chains. A God who sets free. A God who delivers. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. A firm Jesus. A faithful Jesus. A consistent Jesus, a loving Jesus, a holy Jesus.
Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on. And I'm safe with you, and I'm gonna make it rain. I'm gonna make it. Rain came, rain came, rain came, rain came. But my house was built. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. So I'm gonna make it. Jesus, I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it.
Can we sing that with just the voices? Say, rain came.
Rain came. My house was
built on you.
I'm safe with you.
I'm
gonna make it.
I'm gonna make it.
Rain came. You're gonna make it through. You'll never fail, you know. You'll never leave you. You're gonna make it through. gonna make it through.
You're gonna make it through.
I'm standing strong on you.
I'm standing strong on you.
Church, I know sometimes it's hard to see the end result. It's hard to believe that you're gonna make it through. Because some of us might be thinking this morning, well, Corey, you don't get it. That might be easy for you to say. I may not understand what your exact story is. I may not know the tears you've cried. I may not know the pain you've carried. I may not know the heartache. But I do know what Jesus, a Jesus that took on all of that weight, all of that hurt, all of that pain, a Jesus that promised he would wipe away every tear, a Jesus that promised that he would be with us even until the ends of the earth. And so I encourage you this morning to worship that Jesus, that firm foundation. And not just because, and here's the thing, not just because someone's told you to, not just because someone's prompted you to, but because you are reminded of the promise that he's made to be with you. Because he's with you. And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The rain may come and the wind might blow, but he'll never let you go. The storms arise, but he's still the same. The tears may flow, but he's still the same. He's still the same God. 'Cause Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through change. If you really believe that he won't fail you, if you really believe that he won't leave you, oh no, that's good for it to have been a song, but if you really believe that Jesus is faithful and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, can you lift a shout in this place this morning? Yeah, yeah, to the God who will never leave you, to the God who will never forsake you, to the God who promises to keep you.
Put our hands together.
Whoa. Yeah.
Come on. We are friends of God today. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's nobody like him. He's the one who never fails. Hallelujah.
That you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call.
Is it true?
Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing.
Let's sing it together. Who am I?
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call?
Is it true?
Is it true that you are thinking of me?
How you love?
y que escuches mi clamor.
Y es verdad.
Y es verdad lo que tú hoy me dices, que me amas.
Me asombra.
Eres mi amigo fiel, tu amigo soy.
Eres mi amigo.
Eres mi amigo fiel. Eres mi amigo fiel. Eres mi amigo fiel, tu amigo soy.
Sing it again. Eres mi amigo fiel.
Eres mi amigo fiel.
Sing it together, God Almighty.
God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me great.
God Almighty,
God Almighty, Lord of glory,
He's the Lord of glory.
God Almighty.
give God praise this morning? He's so worthy. Come on, just lift up a shout to Him, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. We worship You today, King Jesus. We say You're holy. We declare that there's nobody like You. Father, we worship You today. We give You all glory and honor and praise. We magnify Your name, majestic, powerful, majestuoso, poderoso. No hay nadie como tú, Señor. Jesus, there's nobody like You. And so we lift up Your precious name today. God, as we stand in Your presence, we thank You for Your nearness, that You never leave us nor forsake us. You're always here. Jesus, we worship You. We lift up Your name. God Almighty. Precious Lamb of God, the Lamb who laid down His life. Jesus, in this moment, just find Him wherever you are. Nobody looking around. Completely focused on Jesus. Find His presence. Presence fall on us. Jesus, come and heal hearts today. Come and bring peace today. Give rest to the weary, the tired of soul and body. Peace, peace, peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Oh, peace, peace. peace be still. To every heart, every mind, Jesus, Jesus. That's it, that's it. Yes, yes, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your peace that's invading this room right now. We thank you, Lord, that no greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We thank you that you laid down your life for us, Lamb of God, that you call us friends. And in the precious name of Jesus, we speak peace. We command every storm, peace, be still. Every anxious heart, anxiety must go now in Jesus' name. We speak refreshing to the weary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your peace.
God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty,
just quiet.
Lord of glory, you have called me friend.
We thank you for captivating hearts today,
God Almighty.
We thank you for arresting hearts today. Hold us close, O Lord. Give God one more hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I just love the presence of the Lord. There's nobody like him in all of heaven or all the earth. And we're going to stay in this attitude of worship because we're about to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. We have the opportunity to give to the Lord of our substance, what he has given to us, what he has lent to us, we give back to him. And the Bible speaks of giving a tithe. That's 10%. The Bible tells us to bring the tithe into the house of the Lord. And so we're going to do that this morning. There are several ways to do that. We've made it easy for you. You can give on our My Church app. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. You can give online. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. As you do that, I do have a couple of announcements. First is Party with the Pastor is happening today. So if you're new to Carpenter Shop Church, if you've started coming within the past 3 months, please stay after the service. Make your way back to the Family Life Center. It's straight back down the hallway. We want to get to know you. We want to spend some time with you. We want you to have an opportunity to connect with Pastor Wallace and our other pastors on staff. And we also have another announcement this week, or for today, excuse me. Those of you who brought your Chi Alpha mugs, you can leave them in the foyer. There's a table out there. And so if you brought mugs for missions today, make sure you leave those with us. God bless you as you give. And worship team, we invite you to come back. Would you stand with us as we sing this next song?
it comforting to know that we have we serve a God that no matter what, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. No matter what we're going through, depression, anxiety, it could be financial. It doesn't actually matter what it is. But we serve a God that can heal us, that can rescue us. And I don't know about y'all, but I find that very comforting. So as we worship Him today, can we just let that sink in the spirit? They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know You like we do. There is power.
Break the unbreakable.
no matter what, no matter what, no matter where, no matter how, God is there. He is always there.
The Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus speaking to the disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, this chapter number 19, I believe it is. He goes through a discourse of teaching, and evidently there was some doubt in the crowd, as there always is. And Jesus simply says in chapter 19, I think it's verse 26, with men some things are impossible. But I like the last part. How about you? He said, but with God, all things are possible. How many of you believe in for that thing right now that seems to be impossible? Can I just tell you, God is the same God. We've sung about it. He's a God who's all powerful. He's a God who's loving. And sometimes we face things that, you know, we have this huge question mark over our lives. Like, God, what are you doing? You can be seated if you like. Just this past week, Pastor Joy and I were able to be a part of General Council Assemblies of God in Columbus. Let me say thank you for allowing us to serve in the capacities that we do. We were immensely blessed. And while the majority of my week was taken up in business matters and meetings and decision making and all that, I have the privilege of being selected to represent North Carolina. Every state gets one representative. And we call those general presbyters. So I'm the general presbyter for North Carolina. And God allowed me to sit in on policy-making procedures and things like that that shape our movement. And so that was long and tedious, but I was also able to break away and enjoy some times of worship. And one of those settings was Friday morning at the end of the week. We heard from three couples. The first couple was a man who had received an infection of COVID that put him in the hospital in four hospitals for 60 days. They told his family he only had a 10% chance of living. Greg Mundus, who was AGM missions director for our movement. And supernaturally, God just brought him through the channels. Every hard spot, every tough place. They put on the overhead that there were like 12 or 15 specific things that he had wrong with him in his body. And we were able to listen to Greg share his story of how Jesus visited his life and raised him up, followed by, somebody say followed by. Followed by a couple, Mike and Darla Rakes, who had a daughter, 27 years old, who was their worship leader, their worship pastor. And she was diagnosed with cancer at age 24, 25, somewhere in there. And they believed with everything in them that she was going to survive, that she was going to be healed. Prophetic words came forth from people. Listen, it's going to be all right. No worries. God's got this. And she died. And he talked about how that shook his faith. Can I ask you today, have you ever walked through something that you just had a huge question mark? You said, God, I just don't get this. You know, I just don't get this. Why? And I listened to that couple, and I've watched them, and I've served on boards with Mike, and I watched him walk through the toughest time of his life. And he said, you know what? We've learned the value of suffering. We've learned the value of God's keeping power, his sustaining power. And he said, it's our loss, our daughter's gain. You know, she's in heaven. And he said, you know what? We're going to be there with her one day. She got there early. And I marvel at the healing that has taken place in their lives. And I just, you know, I just wonder sometimes when we go through things, you know, we have this idea that we shouldn't even question God. But you know what? God can handle your questions. He can. Some of you are facing things right now. You just don't know. God, how did I get here? You know, why did I get into circumstances? Some of you younger people might be saying, why did I even start dating him anyhow? You know, whatever the case is. Just keep your focus on Jesus, because you know what? With men, there are some impossible things, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And then the last story we heard was a prodigal, the daughter of Jim Cimbala, the pastor of a major church in New York, Brooklyn Tabernacle, who ran away and lived on the streets and lived in cars and slept in the dump, knowing that her life, you know, she had been poured into the gospel all of her life, and God sustained her and brought her back. You know, she got pregnant. She was embarrassed. She was ashamed. She was doing drugs and all kinds of things, but she never was able to escape the voice of Jesus calling her back home. And what a faithful God we serve. You know what? He is able to move thee what seems to be immovable. And we believe him, and we're believing him for you and for your needs. Thank you so much for praying for us while we were away. We had a tremendous time, and a lot of that tremendous time was knowing that on the opposite side of the street, just a block or so away, was over 12,000 young people from all over the United States. 12,000. Corey, I'm just blown away to see that many youth from 52 states, 12,000 young people. Amen. And such an amazing thing. And North Carolina was well represented. We had a battalion of people here and leaders that went with them. And they just did an incredible job. Let me share with you, just in North Carolina, 2 first place finishes for North Carolina. Amen. 6 top 10 finishes. And let me tell you, 2 of those 6, listen now, over the whole, not the state, the nation, 2 out of those 6 were from this church right here in Ahoskie, North Carolina, guys. Amen. Reese White and Ladere, which is Reese and Shelby. Stand up, guys. Come on, stand up. 2 of the 6. 2 of the 6. 13 superior ratings in the nation. And out of those, one of the groups out of those superior ratings, right here from this church, G-Force. Come on, guys. Stand up this morning again. Amen. And out of the nation, okay, in the state of North Carolina, 20 excellent ratings. And out of those excellent ratings, 2 of them from right here in this church, Noah Knowles. Come on, stand up, Noah. Noah Knowles. and Aiden Hawks. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give it up. What an amazing, amazing. Thank you guys for, you know, every time you purchased a box of donuts, every time you reached out and you dropped a contribution in the basket, you invested in the lives of young people who would gather in Columbus just this past week, and their lives were, wow, forever changed. And we were just so blessed to see the power of God moving so wonderfully in their lives. Even Noah, two more wins I want to mention. Noah, stand up and face the congregation if you would. He's sporting a jacket this morning. They had a basketball competition going on, Corey. White men can't jump, right? That's what they say, right? Listen, they white not can jump, but they know how to shoot a hoop. Come on. And he won, listen, nationally in the United States, the most free throws nonstop without a miss. 23. Come on, y'all. 23 in a row. I stood there for a while when I was in the exhibition hall, and I watched guys go 3, 4. One guy got super excited because he got 7, and the crowd was just going crazy. 7, come on, man, 7. And I hear later that homeboy comes up and does 23 in a row, y'all. 23. Amazing, amazing. One more win. There was a category that nobody knew about. It's called the category of matrimony. Did y'all know there was a category of matrimony there? And Ashley won that category. Amen? Come on, Ashley. Stand up, Ashley. Goes to Fine Arts and asks Holly to marry him on Fine Arts. Come on, y'all. Come on. I got one thing to say. He's a smooth operator. That's all I know. Amen. Corey, come on up here, man. Corey serves our youth, and the crowd is coming. The team, would you guys come on up? They want to present him something. They did not go to Columbus and forget about you, man. They didn't. They went to Columbus, and they bought a small bag of goodies for you as their youth leader. So they're coming up. Crystal, Scott, you guys come on up, man. You guys served tirelessly, served in that effort. Amen. Come on, let me help you out here. I'll hold the mic.
Oh, okay. Well, Corey, we really appreciate everything you're doing with the youth, and we had a great time this week. We wish you could have been there, but we did bring you back some items. And Pastor, would you hold that shirt up?
Sure.
This shirt we got for you. Although you couldn't be there, we wanted you to be a part of the team, feel part of the team that was there because you were there with us. Oh, I don't even know what everything is in here. I know that there are some bracelets. What I do want to mention, these devotional books are student devotionals, and they were selling them all week, but by the end of the week, they had a big enough contribution that they wanted every student who left the service on the last night to have a resource in hand. So, all of our students got one, and we were able to bring extras back so that you can share that with the youth tonight and
Absolutely.
Next week and the week after. I think it's a 9-week devotional study program, so yay! Bracelets for everybody.
Hey, what an amazing time. Pray for Corey also, too. Next week he goes to the Next Gen Conference in Raleigh, and already plugging him in to get him connected to the things that are happening in the Assemblies of God, not only nationally but in our state. So next year, somebody say next year, Corey, you'll be busting it on up down there to Columbus, Ohio as well. Amen. And then we've already contracted, Assemblies of God has already contracted with Orlando, Florida, for 25, 27, and 29, we'll return to the big International Drive Conference Center, Orange County, and it'll be exciting. So you got your work cut out for you, bro. You just do. Amen. So let's, y'all need to see a taste of what they experienced just this past week. First, we're going to let Noah hit you up with one of his piano solos that he did, which received an excellent rating. Give it up for Noah, would you? Yeah, we'll have to do this one more time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Noah. You know, these kids need a lot of prayer when they're going to fine arts, because can you imagine showing up into an arena with 12,000 and the days before, it starts out of the gate early Monday morning, the days before, in rooms all over that Coliseum where competition is strong. I mean, it's strong. Everybody wants to what? Everybody wants to get a superior or an excellent. But there's so many kids who went there, and they went and they returned back home, and they didn't get farther than just, hey, I tried, I did the best I could, but no mention. So you guys should be really proud of Carpenter Shop Kids. You really should. Amen. Come on, Reese, give it up for Reese. Only two in North Carolina in that category. Reese White, God bless you.
Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Thank you, Reese. Again, thank all of you for supporting the youth, and especially for those extra adults that went along. I know Megan and Stacy appreciate the help, and we just encourage you to get your kids involved. Another category that was new this year, basketball, of course, but another category that was new this year was with stitches, what they call it, the fabric category. Crocheting, fiber arts, crocheting, all these things. Next year, they're adding another new category in baking. Come on, guys, listen. Young people going back. How many of you remember home ec? Come on, they're going back to home essentials, fabrics, and now baking added as an art. And so there's so many ways that people can get involved. Thank you for involving your youth into fine arts. It's such an important step. Our guest today, who's no stranger to us here at this church, gets to work with a harvest of young people who've made it through those challenging teenage years, adolescence, for the first time stepping their foot on the college campus. What a challenging season. to take all that's been deposited into your life through home and through your local church and then leave and land on the college campus. We're blessed in the Assemblies of God for the Lord to have placed a Jeremiah call. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. To place a Jeremiah call among some who feel deeply compelled that that college campus is where they belong. I'm one testimony, not a good one, that when I left home, I walked away from the godly heritage in the household that I was raised. I walked away from serving the Lord. I experimented. I wandered down paths that I had never been down before, NC State University in Raleigh. And you know, through going back home and getting connected with Joy, the Lord just used her to pull me back into the kingdom. And then I was able to go on the college campus at NC State and find a small group of people meeting on a Thursday night. And it was my lifeline. It really was. Would you make welcome to this platform once again missionaries from Chi Alpha, Tyler Statton. Would you welcome them this morning? Praise the Lord. God bless you, my friend.
Oh, man. Whenever we get to come to Carpenter Shop, it's always a special treat for us. You guys just, you know how to welcome a missionary. You know how to just do service, right? And so I think when I came here this time, I see all these new things. I see this awesome screen. I see things that are happening around your church with new logos. And I hear about your fine arts people. And I just see like God moving in some really cool ways. But the coolest way is your guys' heart. I get to go to all these churches, and let me tell you what, Carpenter's Shop is one of those ones that has a heart for God that I just love. Like, it's contagious, guys. You have a great pastor and a great church, and you have something really cool going on here. And so I am so thankful that I get to be a part of it. I wish I could be a part of it for more than just one Sunday, but I believe that God has given me a message for today. We're going to start off with just telling you a little bit more about Chi Alpha. Wallace shared a little bit, but I want to make sure you know that Chi Alpha is not just at NC State. Chi Alpha exists nationwide on over almost 300 campuses. So if you know a college student that is going to a campus, I would encourage them to try to look up and see if there's a Chi Alpha group there, because they are really excited to meet with those college students. Here in North Carolina, we have some at Winston-Salem College. We have some at UNC Chapel Hill. We have some over at UNC Wilmington. There's lots of different spots that you could get plugged into a Chi Alpha just here in North Carolina. So the Triad area has some, the Triangle has some. We are also looking to try and expand. We're just praying for workers, right? That God would provide the workers to go. And so we're asking that you would pray for those workers, because the Bible says to do so, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we need to pray for those workers to go to these university campuses so that more people may know. Chi Alpha is not a replacement for the local church. We meet during the week, but we encourage our students to be a part of a local church body. And so we exist to be an outreach arm to the campus and pull people in who don't know about him. And so that is what Chi Alpha exists to do. I'm actually going to invite my friend Devontae. Devontae is on staff with Chi Alpha at North Carolina State, and he's going to just share a little bit more about what is happening and what we do at NC State specifically.
Thank you. Good morning, Carpenter Shop. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Devontae Porter. I've been on staff with Tyler and Paige at NC State for the past 5 years, going into my sixth, originally from the Memphis, Tennessee. And I just here up here to just tell y'all a little bit about what goes on the typical week of Chi Alpha at NC State. So honestly, there's rarely ever a dull day for us. Like, anything that goes on college campuses, like, it's always exciting, it's always intense, it's always something new going on every day, whether it be our Tuesday large groups meetings that we call XA Live, where we have a short-term worship session, worshiping the Lord with time of community, but also hanging out afterwards. We host life group Bible studies throughout the week from Monday through Friday, where we disciple some of our student leaders. And right now we have about 6 to 7 Bible studies going on this week, including our 3 interns that are hopping in with us. And we dig deep into just understanding what's going on in their typical day, because they don't go just a normal day. Like, they have to go through classes that are so intense, like it's an Ivy League school because of the intensity of the engineering program out there. But also we do things that are fun, such as intramural sports. I'm on the soccer team. We also do volleyball, basketball, and it's also through there where we reach international students especially. Well, I noticed that y'all are an international church. Did you know that there are over 4,000 international students that go to NC State University that make up over 120 different nations all over the world? So imagine the joy that it gets that we see when our students befriend a Chinese student or invite an Indian student to an American household for the first time and have an authentic American meal, and even getting the chance to learn about their individual cultures, to allow them to feel the culture and the need that these countries that we're getting to interact with on a daily basis are in desperate need of the gospel. Because the simple fact is, the majority of these countries, the main denomination or religion has nothing to do with Christianity. So the majority of these students are meeting us not knowing who the name of Jesus is or even what the gospel is. So we hope and pray that through the interactions, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can one day convince them to accept Jesus and take that back home with them to their countries and be able to save even hundreds of thousands through that, on top of the spring break mission trips that we also take every year. But also, it's just a passion of us that we consider our motto to be the 3 D's. We cherish to be deep friends, deliberate servants, and devoted disciples. And through all of these different ministries I've already named, including outreaches such as tabling and even reaching out to a small HBCU at Shaw University recently, we cherish young adults because they are the future leaders of today. They are the future leaders of tomorrow. Somebody who may potentially say cure cancer one day is in college right now. The next future president of the United States is in college right now. The next prime minister of wherever overseas might be in college right now, and we want to be able to fill in the gap that is so in desperate need to reach college campuses, because it's a reality that not a lot of churches are well equipped to reach that demographic, whether it be that they're not near a college campus or they may not have a lot of young adults going to church, because quite honestly, the majority of Christians that go into college end up leaving the faith by the time that they graduate. And that's why we thank a church like y'all so much for doing something as little as giving a coffee mug. Something in a Mug is an event that we do every year where we have over 1,000 mugs. And we pray and hope that every single mug gets taken because we get to interact with them. We get to follow up with them. We get to send our student leaders to be able to get in contact with them, form relationship, and pray that the Holy Spirit has a awakening moment along the way in that semester. And we just want to thank you again for the spiritual support as well as the financial support that you give to our ministry, because without it, none of this would be able to be possible.
All right. I'm actually going to have Shelby go ahead and come up. Shelby is one of our interns this year. And I'm going to have her share her major and, a little bit about her story.
Hello, my name is Shelby. So I'm a psychology major. I just graduated in May, and I'm actually from Illinois. So now I'm going to be an intern at Chi Alpha, and so I'm going to share a little bit about my story. So I grew up going to church when I was younger, but God wasn't talked about at home. And so I didn't really know if I believed in the Lord until high school. And so my junior year of high school, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And we went to this big revival tent, and a pastor came on stage and said, someone in this room was just diagnosed with cancer. And so in that moment, I knew that the Lord was real and that he knew me. And so that was the start of my journey. And so a couple of years later, I go off to college, and I realize that I don't have a Christian community to help me grow in my faith. And so in 2021, I transferred to a university called EIU, and I found Chi Alpha. And so I remember the first time I went to Chi Alpha, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Because there were so many different nations in that room. I was one of the only white people there. And from a really small town of 5,000 people, that was insane to me. And so getting to hear all these different nations, students from India, Ghana, Samoa, and hearing their faith about the same God that I knew, but it was so different. And it just exploded my mind. And so Chi Alpha to me was something that started a fire in me, in my faith. I always wanted to be a counselor, and that was my plan. But through Chi Alpha, God started working in my heart about surrendering my career. And so one thing that we did is we went on a mission trip to Atlanta, Georgia in 2022. And while I was there, people started saying to me, Shelby, have you thought about ministry? Have you thought about ministry? And I was like, oh, no. Like, I have my plan. It's secure. It's safe. But I started praying about it and surrendering that to the Lord. And so in May of last year, we went to a conference that Chi Alpha holds called SICM. And so basically, it's just to train us to share the gospel with other students. While I was there, a student from Virginia Tech came up to me and said, Shelby, do you know the story of Peter walking on water? I was like, yeah, I know the story. And he said, God wants you to take a step out of the boat. You might get wet, but wouldn't you rather go to heaven wet than dry? And I knew, like, okay, like, I have to take that step of faith. And so without Chi Alpha and without this community, I would have never been empowered to step out in that. I have no idea where I would be right now, but it would not be here. And so I'm just really grateful to have found this loving community, and I'm excited to be able to invite other students into that this year. So.
All right. I'm actually going to introduce really quick. So you met Devante, you met Shelby. My wife is on the front row right here. And then we also have two other interns, Tatton, and then we have Cammy. And so we are truly blessed within Chi Alpha to be able to walk with future leaders and through our internship program. And yeah, we're just thankful that you have sent us. I know that some of you in this room don't know this detail, but last year, your church gave very generously to our community. And when I got home after I had to buy something, and I slid my Chi Alpha card, and my account was at zero. And I was so thankful at that moment because I had not cashed your check. I had not put it inside of our bank. And your generous giving helped us do so much more than you could ever imagine. Like, God was so faithful that he provided in that way. And I just want to give you a couple of things so you know how what those funds went to. You helped us execute some of these welcome events that we just talked about. You helped our staff team get parking passes so that we can have greater access to students and actually interact with them on the college campus. We had scholarships that were close to 25 students so that they could go to fall retreat. We had one of the greatest numbers in fall retreat history in North Carolina for Chi Alpha, and that's due to some of the funds you gave there. We had a large amount of costs that we had to endure when we went on our trip to India, more than we expected. We were able to put some of those funds towards that. We had a trip, our flights were redirected, and we had to purchase new tickets because of some complications that happened. Your funds were able to help us get home, so thank you. Finally, we had 18 students go through a week of student leadership retreat that Shelby just mentioned, called SICM, and we were able to provide lower costs so that they could be at that. And so Carpenter Shop, I just want to say thank you. Like, from the bottom of my heart, like, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generosity. You made the difference this last year so that we could reach students for Christ. It really means so much to me, so thank you. This last year, we saw God move in some miraculous ways. We weren't expecting some of these things. One of the things that started happening is this neighboring university, this college called Meredith, is a girls' college, and all these girls started showing up at our service that was at NC State. Five of them just came, and they have been coming, and they're continuing to come, and one of them is actually going to be a leader this next year. So God is opening up a door to another university that's right across the street from NC State. We have another one that Devante mentioned named Shaw. This university is an HBCU, has individuals there that have started coming over. They were part of the soccer team, and they just showed up to our service and started interacting with our students. And we are seeing God move in these students' lives. In fact, this is one of the cool things. We're not even a registered organization at Shaw University, and they just contacted us and say, hey, do you want to be a part of the org fair? We know you had some connections. We'd love for you to come over. So God is doing the work, that is just beyond what we could even ask or imagine. We are not pushing down doors. God is opening doors on the campus. And we know that that is through some of the prayers that you guys have placed for us. We also have some students coming from Wake Tech Community College, and we're believing that God is going to do some greater things. In fact, we started rebranding some of our stuff to be called Raleigh Chi Alpha because we believe that God's vision is even greater than just state. And so we're moving in a direction that God is leading. Again, if you know somebody on the college campus, please let us know. Well, I want to jump into the scripture, but I also want you to see something before I do. Your worship team, they had a song that was very much just awesome and talked about the intimacy of God. We're going to talk about that. They had a song that talked about how God is foundational. We're going to talk about that. They also talked about just how he is able to do things that we are not able to do. He's the chain breaker. He can move things, move mountains. We're also going to talk about that. I did not talk to your worship team. It is the Holy Spirit that's moving. And so I believe that today, as I share God's word, that is in line with what the Holy Spirit is speaking. If you want to open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 1, it's a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you can find that. At the beginning here, I just want to give you a quick intro. Scholars say that it is written by the disciple John. This disciple was considered to be the disciple that Jesus loved. Scholars mostly say that it was written about 50 years after the death of Christ. So John's getting along in his age, and he realizes, before I die, there are some important things that I want the next generation, the people that go after me, to know. These are important things. No longer can we just tell them. They need to be written down and passed on for people to read, like you and I today. His was the last gospel to be written. So you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke that are written. And John is saying, there's some things, more things that I want to say. And this is one of those books that we as a Chi Alpha group are going to be going through this semester. And so I see so much life and power in it. John is said to have written this because he wanted people to believe, you and I to believe. And so as we read this, it is so powerful. And so I just want to start off, and it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, let's back up really quick, because right here, John is using something very beautiful. He's actually taking us back to the creation narrative, talking to us about how God spoke into existence these things and made things be, right? And something really awesome is also interjected here, and he uses this thing, the Word. What is he talking about? Well, the Word is a replacement word for Jesus right here. So as we talk about the Trinity, Jesus is part of that Trinity. We serve one God, but also three persons are part of that Godhead. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and John is showing us. So let me just reread that first part. It says, in the beginning was Jesus, and the Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? Right? It has not overcome it. So as we sang about the darkness, he can't overcome it. And then it goes into verse 6. It says this: there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, as we read this portion of scripture, it's important for us to understand that John is trying to really kind of cast these characters in our mind. He's saying, there's this guy, He is the God-man named Jesus, and I want to make sure you know he is central to this story. And then he goes into the second part and says, there's this other guy. Don't get confused. This other guy is not Jesus. His name is John. This is talking about John the Baptist. This guy is the one that is preparing the way. He is the one that's pointing to Jesus. Now, I think what's beautiful about this is if we really look at the full story of God, we go through the Old Testament, we go to the book of Malachi, which was the last book of the Bible written, and in that passage, Malachi 3:1, I don't have it on the screen behind me, it was written 400 years prior, but it says this, "Behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me," speaking about John the Baptist. "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come," speaking about Jesus. So there's this prophetic word 400 years earlier that's speaking, and these Jewish individuals who were reading this text would have quickly thought back to that book of Malachi and said, oh man, this is coming true. This is something special. We cannot miss what God is trying to speak to us right now. John pointed people in the direction. Again, verse 8, if you see that, it says that the light shines in the darkness, and then it talks about John. He himself was not the light. Thinking about growing up, one of the things that I was thinking about the other day is, did you ever drive in a car and you're like, man, I don't know when I get older how I'm ever going to get to where I'm supposed to go? It's just so hard to remember directions, and then all of a sudden you drive and you figure it out, right? And now there's this beautiful thing called Google Maps that gets us to the place we want, right? Are you thankful for Google Maps? I'm like, praise God, how did we ever get anywhere before this? But the thing that I want to say, and God kind of planted this image in my mind, is that we are more like the Google Maps. We are not the destination, though we'd like to be, right? We think it'd be so cool to be the destination. We want people to come to us. We like people to like us, but we are not the destination. We are kind of a signpost. We point people in the right direction. And so my challenge to you and my first point is that we need to point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Very simple, right? I'm not going to make some complex point. Point people to Jesus is our first point. Are you pointing people to Jesus through your life, through your words, through your actions? Is your life a signpost that others see and want to follow you as you follow Christ? As people, and in our flesh, we long to be that destination, but we are merely signposts pointing people towards something far greater. Don't let them stop just at you, because there is something so much better. All right, I'm going to ask Cammy, one of our interns, to come up and share a little bit about her story. You guys welcome Cammy.
Hello. So like he said, my name is Cammy, and I'm going to talk about my story about how Chi Alpha has impacted my life. So what I'm going to talk about is, so first, I was born actually in North Carolina. I was born in Greensboro, Georgia, and I've lived in North Carolina pretty much my whole life until about 2014. My dad got a job offer, so we moved to Georgia. And that was a big moment for me, because that's when I really had to lean on God, because it was a big transition and change in my life. So I had to hold on to God really tightly. So after my ninth grade year, you know, I kind of stuck with God. You know, I tried. You know, I went through high school, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna stick with God, and we're gonna do this. But when I went to college my freshman year, I was like, I'm gonna get into campus ministry or something. Like, I need God. And so, ironically, that Sunday, before I was supposed to go to college, there was this boy. And for all the young people out there, just be careful, you know, they come around. So you just gotta remember not to be distracted. But where I'm going with that is, basically what happened is I got distracted a little bit, and I found Chi Alpha my freshman year, but because of that and because of different distractions, I got away from God. So I really wasn't with God or anything, but and I had a lot of shame and different things like that. But my junior year, I remember I was walking on campus and I would see people from Chi Alpha because I knew people in Chi Alpha. It's just I had so much shame that I didn't want to come back to Chi Alpha. But I had saw people from Chi Alpha. So I went to school at Georgia Southern University, and they have these org fairs where different clubs, you know, they're out and, you know, they try to reach students and different things like that. So Chi Alpha, they were actually outside on the table, and they were doing what you call tabling, is where you, like, do outreach and you reach out to students. And so I was walking past, I saw the table, and I was like, I'm not going to go over there because I don't think they remember me. But, you know, as you guys know, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you, God speaks to you. So he was like, nope, you're going to go to that table. And so I kind of walked over there, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to this table. And so I talked to them. It was two small group leaders. One was Caitlin, and one was Emmanuel. And pretty much when I talked to them, it was like all that shame that I felt about leaving and different things like that, it basically went away. So they basically opened me up with open arms. They were like, hey, you know, we have a Bible study. We would love for you to come. And so I went, and that is how I decided to stay with Chi Alpha, because they were so loving. I mean, just if we're going to be real here, just think about different scenarios that happen in your life and you come away from God, but to have people there to bring you back to him is very important, because what that did is it changed my life. And through what I went through, I was able to go through that so that I could help other students. And I wanted God to use me to impact other students. So that's why I'm doing the internship with Chi Alpha, so that God can use me. And I can be a small group leader to be able to reach out to students who, like, need Christ, like I did. So that's my story about Chi Alpha.
I think that life, sometimes we see these other signposts and they think they're going to lead to something great, right? We think that they're going to fill our heart the way we hope it fills our heart, and then we find it doesn't. The only thing that will fill our heart to the fullest is Jesus. And so as we point people to him, it's important for them to hear about that, because they're looking, right? Everybody's looking for what is going to fill my heart, what is going to fill that longing that I know I have in my life. And so if we've been changed by that. We're going to talk about that next. It goes into, if you go to verse 35, we're actually going to skip. So we're introduced to these characters, these people, and we go to verse 35, and this is where we're going to hunker down. It says this: the next day, John was there again, John the Baptist, with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Signpost moment, right? When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Well, there's moments in our life where we say, "Come and see," to people, right? Where we, I grew up in Colorado. My wife grew up in Arizona. We're here in North Carolina. We have these pictures here of different sites, right? If somebody's going to come and visit you in Colorado, you're like, "Hey, come and see the Rocky Mountains." And then if you're in Arizona, you're going to be like, "Hey, come and see the Grand Canyon." And then if you're here, you're like, "Hey, come and see the beach." And so you have these moments, right, that you're like, "Hey, come and see it," because it's something beautiful. It's something maybe they've never seen, and you want them to experience it the way you've experienced it. And then there's other moments that were like, come and see my graduation, right? I worked so hard for this moment. Come and see it. You may have renovated your house and you're like, man, my kitchen is finally the way I've always dreamed, right? Come and see it. Come over for dinner. And then you know, all the teens in the room are like, I got my new car, right? You're like, come and see my new car. I had a Chevy Nova. It was 87. It wasn't the cool Chevy Nova, but for me, I paid $2,000 for it, and it was cool, right? I wanted all my friends to come and see my new ride, right? Come and see it. Later on, you know, you got this couple here that's just gotten engaged, right? Like, come and see our wedding, right? Over the summer, we just had a wedding. It's you see it behind me. This is a Chi Alpha wedding. This is what a Chi Alpha wedding looks like. You have this couple that was part of Chi Alpha. They actually were leaders. Ruth and Daniel were leaders with our Chi Alpha group. And as they go into their wedding day, my wife and I had the opportunity to officiate that wedding together. And it was beautiful because they invited all their Chi Alpha friends to come and see them get married. And this is a picture of all their Chi Alpha friends with them. And so this is the kind of community that's being formed, the family that's being formed, because we believe that these friends are not just going to be there for a season, but they're going to be around for a lifetime. Jesus gives us, in this part of the story, the most personal invite we could ever be given. He doesn't just say, hey, come and I'll cook you a good meal. He doesn't just say, come and like we'll have fun together. He's like, come and see and spend my life with me, right? And this is a beautiful thing, because as we talked about the God that knows you through worship time, he intimately cares and loves you and wants to know you the deepest. And not, and the truth is, he already knows you, right? Like, he knows you, and he still chooses to love you. He still chooses to love me even in my mess, right? And that is a beautiful God. That's a God that I can follow. He's not too busy. That's an important thing for us to hear. Here in America, we can get so busy, right, with our schedule. This is a God that's not too busy for us. He cared about the people around him. He knew their names and needs. Just think about what Jesus does here. John calls him the Lamb of God, right? These two guys start following him, and Jesus just kind of looks back and is like, what do you want? And they're like, you know, we want to know where you're staying. He's like, come and see. And so Jesus was all about relationships. We read in the gospel stories all these miracles that happen, right? But the thing that we don't see is the in-between, the journey between the miracles, and how Jesus is walking with the disciples. We must first come and see ourselves. This is a really important part, because it is a really, like, Jesus changes our lives. And if he hasn't changed your life, I really invite you in this room to come and see just how good he is, just how much he cares and loves for you. I want you to experience that. I have experienced it, and it has changed my life. And if you have not, please come and see. When I came to Christ, my life gained purpose. My values started to change. My life was radically different. And I really just encourage you, if that's one of those things where you're like, hey, I really feel like the Holy Spirit in this room is speaking to me, to come and see, to give God a chance. I encourage you to go and tell Wallace after service to say, hey, I really want to go on this journey. I want to come and see what this Jesus is like. Come and see. That's point number two. We go on in verse 40. It says this: Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So he brings his brother, right? He brings his brother to see Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter or the rock. So you have Andrew and Peter who are following Jesus. They've come and seen, and now they're starting to follow, right? And so the next challenge, and my last challenge for today, is to go and tell. come and see, go and tell. Is my life, this is my question for you, is my life centered around my wants or other people's needs? It's easy to like lean into our wants and the things we want to see happen. But can I tell you that I have found so much more fulfillment in my life as I leaned into caring for people that Jesus cares about and loving them. Still take care of myself, but I want to care for others and let them experience the love of Christ that he has shown me. I want to show to them through my life. And it's important for us as a culture to have open eyes to the people around us. We are such a culture that can be so focused on our phones and our own things, right, that we sometimes neglect. We drive into our garage and we go straight into our house and we forget about our neighbors. I'm challenging you to not neglect the neighbors and the people around you today, to care for them and love them the way Jesus does. When I came to Christ in high school, I went and quickly had this like desire to tell other people. And so I'm going into youth one day, and all of a sudden, this man is walking across the parking lot. This man that was 40, right around that age, so he looked like me, right? And I'm this little youth kid, and I remember the scripture that's like, don't let anybody despise your youth. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and approach this guy. I'm going to ask this guy if he knows Jesus, because I'm going to be a signpost. I'm going to tell him. So I went up to him, and I go, hey, do you know Jesus? And he's like, what? No, I do, but I can't, like, he wants nothing to do with me. I'm like, yes, he does. He loves you. And he's like, no, you don't understand my life. Like, I used to be a pastor, and I walked away and started living a life of alcoholism and started living a life that was very radically different, and there's no way I could step foot back into church. I said, yes, you can. Why don't you come with me? So I got permission from my youth pastor. I was like, hey, can I bring this guy into youth group? Can I sit with him in the back? Is that cool? And he's like, yeah. So we sit in the back. Let me tell you what, he gave his life to Christ that night. We have to be signposts. We have to go and tell, because God wants to work in other people's lives. We know in this story, we're hearing and introduced to Simon Peter. Simon Peter owned a fishing business. Think about that. He owns a business. He could have said, no, 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 I can't come and see. I'm too busy. I've got fish to catch. Instead, he lays his business down and follows the Christ, the Messiah, and his life is radically changed. I want to think for a second, what takes up the majority of our lives right now? I just did a quick deep dive, and the average global screen time is 7 hours a day that we are staring at a screen. We will not be taking our screens to heaven, just so you know. We are spending so much time on screens. Our phones, it says 4 hours on phones. 2.5 just on social media is the average. That is out of control. I'm a problem here in this scenario. I do too much social media. I'm just telling you. I'm outing myself. This is an area where, as I like prepared for the sermon, I'm like, God, I need to grow. So how can they come to see if we don't go and tell? If we're so focused on our screens and our lives, how are they ever going to know the message, the greatest thing? I'm going to share this last story with you, and then I'm going to have the worship team come up. Actually, if the worship team wants to go ahead and come up, I think they're going to end it. We had the awesome privilege after spring break to meet this girl from China named Yusi. Yusi is a very just awesome girl that was just curious. And we invited her to come and see. We invited her to just come and be a part of our services. So she came to our weekly services, and we walked with her, became friends with her, shared our life with her. And all these things are happening in Yusi's life that we don't know. Well, I just got this text message, and it actually came through to one of our student leaders, and it said this: hey, Katie, it's on the screen here. It says, hey, Katie, it's okay. I'm pretty good, and I met some new friends, so my summer goes well. Haha, I think you will feel surprised. I did the pray to be a Christian just 3 weeks ago. I feel your prayer for me before your graduation works. And I met more Christians from May, and they teach me the Bible. I feel I understand what is God's love and understand what is Christianity. I want to stay forever with you and other Christian friends. I miss you so much. Yeah, I hope we can meet each other soon and celebrate birthday together. Guys, that is why I do what I do. That's why we do this thing. Like, you're here today, not just to like be entertained, but like because God is life-changing. And so my challenge to you is for me not to just do this alone. I feel like maybe God has spoken some names into your hearts during this message. And what if this year you had three people in your life that you're like, I am going to invite them to come and see, not just to the church, but my life. I'm going to invite them to come, and I'm going to open up just like the struggles I'm going through and how I lean into God. What if you go and tell those three about the greatest love you've ever experienced? I believe that God would just do something really cool. If you feel like you want to take on that challenge, I just want you to quickly come up here, and then we'll sing our worship song. But I want to pray over you before we do that. And just communally, I want to pray over you. So if you feel like God is challenging you to go and tell three people, you may not have all their names, but if you feel, go ahead. If you're able to physically move from your seat, go ahead and move up here to the front. I would like to pray for you. Thank you, youth, for leading the way. Yes. Thank you. If you're not able to move, if you could just stand, if you want to commit to that, because I want to pray for you. I'm believing that this is a church that cares and loves about the people around them. It might be at your workplace. It might be at your school. God loves. He needs somebody to go. This is more than just NC State. It's to our world. We need people who will go and tell. I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll sing this song. God, you are speaking to individuals in this room. You've given them names, and you know those names. You know the depths and struggles of these individuals. They might be sons. They might be daughters. They might be individuals that they know in the workplace or in their classrooms. And I just pray, God, that you would let these individuals know about your great love, the love that cares for us, the love that wants to be intimate with us, wants to be a friend with us. God, would you move in this room and speak to your people? Move in us. Help us to show your love well and be signposts for you.
Today, please come. Let's stand together if you would. If you need special prayer for anything, just step out of your seat where you are. Join us at the altar here.
My one desire.
praise today. My one desire. God's called me to be a signpost. Amen. I'm a signpost. Come and see. Go and tell. Amen. Simple. Directing people's lives, no matter where you are, no matter how old you are. This juncture in your life, you're called to be a signpost. Help others find direction. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for the ministry of Chi Alpha and the fruit from what you've experienced, touching people's lives, making a presence. It means a great deal to me because I know when I was there, I did my share of not good news, you know. To know that there's a presence there today, not only on that campus, but other campuses, is such a powerful thing for us. And to be able to experience an opportunity to help with that. Thank you for sharing, just delineating one by one the things that you were able to accomplish with the last gift that we gave you. And we're privileged today to be able to give again, to sow seed on good ground, to sow seed in the lives of young people who are at that crossroads in their life where the future is yet before them, because many of them are making decisions. Some of them will change right in the middle of college and go a totally different direction. So, Father, we thank you now for the opportunity to give. I pray that you would take our gift today, receive it, Lord, as worship unto you. Receive it as we plant seed in the ground to come up in the lives of people just like the interns today, just like the testimonies that hit this platform of how you have guided, you have led, and you're continuing to do so. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. It's in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong. Amen and amen. We're going to see a video from the young people today. You can make your way down to the front, drop your gift into the buckets, or if you're giving online, you know what to do. Thank you for helping invest into the lives of college students at such an important time in their life. God bless you as you give today. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you're a newcomer, maybe you didn't get to the last party with the pastor. If you're a newcomer, you just started at Carpenter Shop in the last few months, please avail yourself to the Family Life Center today. We got some food. We're the Grubhub. Come on, somebody. We're the Grubhub today. We're going to bless you with a time of fellowship and sharing, and we'd like to get to know you better. Amen. Sometimes it's challenging. You see people in the church, you don't know their names, you know. We want to get to know you today. Amen. So if you're new, relatively newcomer, join us in the back, Family Life Center. If you're a guest today, please go by the Welcome Center in the foyer. Fill out your card there. We'll give you a gift and love to place you on our record, let you know what's happening in the ministry here. Give it up for Tyler Statton, would you, one more time, and the Chi Alpha group. Thank you guys for being here. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next year for the mug challenge. Amen. Listen, if you didn't bring mugs today and you still want to participate, bring them. They need at least 1,000 mugs. Last year, we just about handled that. Matter of fact, it was funny. I told Pastor Joy, I said, look on the screen. I gave that mug, okay? Okay. We gave so many mugs. How many of you saw one of your mugs sitting on the table? Yes. Amen. So let's do that. Bring your mugs by the church. Put them on the table on Wednesday when you come to Bible study. Joel will be teaching on Wednesday night back at the Family Life Center. Women's ministry group meets with Pastor Joy. Celebrate recovery with Julie Rasko. Opportunities for young people and kids. Don't miss it, guys. Let's get engaged. Let's be the signpost. Let's tell them, come and see, and then you can go and tell. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.